here we have had four or five talks on the different aspects of spirituality. Our purpose is to progress on the way. To progress on the way, there are certain things very essential. If they are not there, progress won't be there. First of all is regularity. As you take food daily for body, twice time a day. Similarly, you are here for the main purpose of giving food to the soul, bread of life, water of life, the capital of which each one of you had it. So first thing is regularity. Regularity will only give you better food if you maintain the diary for self-introspection accurately. Generally, we don't care about the maintenance of diary in respect of the self-introspection. The result is not good progress on the way. Sometimes you progress, sometimes you keep. For that, you know, as the diary prescribes, to have no ill will for anyone. Even thought, word and deed. Thoughts are very potent. You say somebody will say something against him, what he should do. Blood cannot be washed away by blood. There is water of life required to wash it away. If anybody thinks of you, just for a while, consider calmly whether what he thinks, is there any truth in it? Examine your own self. If there is anything, be thankful for it. You see, either the enemy will tell you something which is not right in you, or sometimes close friend, as a matter of counsel and advice, because they have pulled out the particle from. If that is not so, then forgive me, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Pray for them. That's the only way. Otherwise, this thought will rankle in your mind throughout. You will have no rest. Whenever you sit, that thing will pick up. Second is truthfulness, you know. No acting, posing your mind, your heart, your speech, your brain should be in unison. Only that is true, where these three things agree. Simply we say something outer show, heart thinks something else, brain is thinking of something else. These are the things to be watched very carefully. Nobody can watch you properly, as you can yourself, you know better. If we do anything, we first deceive our own self. Not we deceive our own self, but the God in us. He's there, watching our every action. He knows the individual tendency we are going. So, this is further comes out. Then comes the chastity of life. So they say, chastity is life, sexuality is death. The more chaste you become, the better. That will pay. You will have blessedness in you. When there is anything wrong, or lies, or acting posing is done, or we have just acted in posing to show something what we are not, the result is you do wall between you and the God within you. That curtain thickens. So always be true to your own self. Don't face yourself. If you want to progress on the spiritual way, it is of most necessity, and for the solution comes up, we are all of the same essence as that of God. We are the absolution of all consciousness, we are all brothers and sisters in God. No high, no low, according to the reaction of the past, we have our own positions in life, some difficulties in life, that's another thing, but all the same, God has given us equal privileges. As physical body, as soul, as worshipper of the same power which controls all creation, controls us in the world. So man is one who lives for others. Ego and heart are true. Truth is above all, and true living is still above truth. If there is light in the bulb, and bulb is besmeared with black dots, how many times will that go? Light is in you. Take heed that the light within you is not darkness. It is you have to watch. Nobody else can watch it for you. And if there is a thing may come to somebody notice, he might point it to you out of enmity to defend you, or out of hearty love for him, so that your brother may not be misled. So these are the things most matter. When let money is lost, nothing is lost. If health is lost, something is lost. And if character is lost, everything. As I told you, regularity, fault. But these are the helping factors to have success in your spiritual life. These are no new things I'm putting you. You need to have one of you know better. If you have to give a talk, I think you more speak more intelligently, more vehemently, in bombastic words, and all the force at your command. But the only thing is we should be true to our own self. Everybody knows, if a man has a lamp in his hand and falls in the pit, what to do? So, you want progress, that power is within you, always watching your every action, be true. That's the only fair opportunity which will stand forever. If you take one step that way, 100 steps will come up. Otherwise, our failures in life, after how long you consider them? You consider them not to the one within you, you see? You put the thick curtain between you and him. So that is why it prayers has come, you see. O God, we are thankful to you that you have kept this secret from the worldly wise and given to these babes. What does it mean to kneel? Innocent life. Innocent life has nothing of any of these variations in life. So I wish all power, as you say, that God power, Christ power, Guru power is in you, sometimes speak to the human power to guide you. Because we do not listen to the dictates given by him inside. He gives once, twice, thrice, you don't listen to his talk. That you may call the voice of conscience. If you are true to your own self, you are not to be afraid of him, God everywhere. If you are true to your God within you, God dwells in the earth in heaven. He is permeating all creation, controlling all creation and controlling you in the body. He is nearest to you than your hands and feet. So keep your diary strictly. Don't spare yourself. If anything comes to you, you need to beat out, please. Otherwise, how far? You have got pain in the stomach, and how far you be acting for you? If you have taken fire, then how far you keep quiet and acting for you? You cry. This is the most necessary factor which is going to help your progress on the way. God within you is watching everything. He is watching the very tendency our mind is going. So in few words, I believe you know each of you better than what I have told to you, that you know all of it. There are no new things I'm telling you. But the only thing is we are not true to our own self. Mouth should speak what is in our heart. Brain should think what we have got in our heart. We have progressed in head, I would say, not in the heart. That's the whole trouble. Brain thinks it, he becomes selfish, hearted. Narrow-mindedness becomes boss, want to control everybody. He even would like to surpass everybody at the sacrifice of all others. This is where you find the troubles going on in the world today. The reason is why they are not in their heart with them, you see. If your brain thinks and your heart, does it agree with you? I don't think. If you think to kill somebody, would your heart say yes? Do it? No. So, heart is the seat of the soul, how God will lead you. Progress by head, but let the heart be with you. Then you will receive many things. All atrocities, all these things come over you in the world today, this length. All this has come up, why? Because we are progress only in head, not by head, not. If those two have gone together, do you think this should even go on? So moreover, you are true to your own self, you see, remain where you are. These are schools of thought. The basic teachings for all is the same. God has created you with equal privileges. You got body, soul, and controlling power. All are equal. So So we have joined different schools of thought to just realize that unity that the Lord gives. If we are stuck to the boundaries which are meant to give development, progress, you do not come up to understand this just principle for which God made man and also all the schools of thought to be, then this conflict, there is cleverness, so many things. So that every individual always watching your head. Every action, if you are true to him, you are true to God. Be regular, discipline of life, water of life. If your soul becomes strong, your heart is strong, that will be able to carry in the broken carriage. Difficulty is your body are stronger, intellect is strong, and especially me, a little, very feeble, very frail. This is all I can place before you, to the best, as it comes to me now. I have not thought over it before talking, but this is what it means. Be regular in your meditation, that's the breath of life. You should develop all around, develop physically, intellectually, and you should also develop spiritually. Thrice blessed is man. Remain in contact physically too, through correspondence. And that will be when you send your diaries, true diaries. What I mean to say true diaries, that truly interprets what you're thinking, mind, world and deed. What you're doing and thinking in my head, in thought, word and deed. Sometimes you see, diary is almost blank. And the result is given by I'm putting in 2 hours such and such and no problem. What should I believe? You can deceive outside people, not to the one within you already watching you. If your diary is all right and you are putting regular time, accurately, there is no reason why you should not progress. The master power works. That's the Holy Ghost, you see, that works from time to time to guide you back. Listen to the body. And the main context, that's all. We have been having meditation hours. And I hope each one of you must have felt better. If you go on like that with due respect to yourself, introspection and meeting out all failures, and the lights that I have put before you, or if you walk entirely, God will help you more from day to day. So as I told you in my talk, every saint has its part and any mission if we have. Then hope for everybody. Don't be disheartened. You have some power to help you hold your head. Those who have initiated the way, right? You are not all alone. Listen to it. World within you, and so long as you have not conscious contact with that power, remain in contact of the people. I think what I am telling you must be appealing to you, each one of you. I am just talking to you from the level of man, as a man to man. So simple life and high thinking is what you want. Loving heart. No high, no low. He is most beautiful who has got the light of God refulgent in him. That house looking very beautiful in which electric bulbs are giving light. And there's no bulb there. In the most magnificent house looks all dark. So this is what is required, I think, to take these into heart and live up to them. God will help you. For my wishes will all be here, there, anywhere. Because the actual form of the Master is with you always. And until, as I told you, you contact him consciously, face to face, with him, guidance from outside, that power was in the human soul in the I think this will be gist of all direction that can be. So minimum time you need to do that 2 hours. At least this is binding. You can do more but on this player. I remember in 1912 I had a moment in Kolkata. You see, men of the same youth, they are loved. You would meet me, I would also go to meet him. This is back in 1912, I'm talking 60 years back. He had put on no admission without the permission in the house. So I was free. I was free to go to him. Sometimes when he would say prayers, he didn't know moment in my prayer, sing prayer. In prayer you see 5 times they sit, bow down and then stand. And that is the general rule. When you went to you to say prayer for hours, 1 hour, 2 hours, three hours, that's what you got. I once asked him, my dear friend, the prayers are, I have only 5 sittings, and you go on for hours. He says 5 sittings are binding. And this I do to earn his will and pleasure. You see? So to put in 2 hours, I feel tight. It's a binding on each one of you, and if you do more, it will earn his pleasure. This is your work. You have to do it. Then, Jagger is bad, of course. A man is cheap. He wants any time to grab on it, day or night. You are really after your spiritual progress. Snatch your time any time you can. If it is this, where there is a will, there is a way. We have no will. That is why we are not able to do full justice in the world. And man body is the highest in all creation, and this is the golden opportunity we have got. In which we can do this, nobody else will do for you. And you are to go. Last night I was telling people come in their lectures and this and that, and I have been talking to you, I'm just alone. And five times made Portugal, this a golden opportunity, make the best of it. What is meditation? What is spirituality? What is the master of the guide? What he gives? God, where is God? How can we find it? All these things went out. From commencement to the end, we are talking on our word that the name of which we do not like it. But with all that we have to pass through. That is no one we are here to leave the body. And generally you find anywhere in the dog you talk. So my work is the video. That's what they say. That power is within you. What you do, your every tendency, every thought, and extending all feasible help and protection without asking for it. So it is a great blessing to have somebody living on earth like us to guide us. You are all dear to me. Why? Because you have been put on the path. As such, you are all brothers and sisters, real relatives. This is such a relation which cannot be broken up to death. How fortunate you are. You do care. So that's all I can say. This is the sum total of all teachings in the world. If you will live by them, you will progress even more than me. I pray you all will come on that note. But we should be sincere in word, thought and deed. Now as I am going today, all of you who have come from outside should have their own way back if they like. Those who would like to go further, if they can well afford it, their circumstances now are no objection. But there perhaps you will have to make your own arrangements. What else possible, those people also will do, but don't go totally dependent on them. You follow my point now? Be regular in your meditation. No ill will for anybody. Be truthful. Be gate of thought and love for all. You are not bound to live for your own selves. You are man. Man is one who lives for others, not for his own self only. And be regular in devoting your time to come in contact with all consciousness within you, which is controlling all creation and permeating all this. Remain in any social body like that. That's the purpose of all that is to reach that. Purpose of marriage is also to have a companion, to help each other, to know one. That will give you permanent joy and peace. With these words, I think, this is the best of the meditations, you think? Consider these points what I have placed before you. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, take to the heart and live up to them. Your face will be shining glory. Your eyes will be open, bright.
Good morning. Welcome to the Satsang from Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the farewell talk given by Master on 12th October 1972 at the Hilton Hotel, New York City. Our reader this morning is Rick Casey. Hello, Rick. Hello, Rick. Can you hear me?
Yes, Pradeep. I can hear you. Thank you. I will be reading this morning from the Japji, starting with stanza 4, which begins on page 130 of the PDF from the Ruhani Satsang website. Stanza 4. True is the Lord, true His holy word. His love has been described as infinite. Men pray to Him for gifts which He grants untiringly. When all is His, what can we offer at His feet? What can we say to win His love? At the ambrosial hour of the early dawn, be you in communion with the Divine Word and meditate on His glory. Our birth is the fruit of our actions, but salvation comes only from His grace. O Nanak, know the True One as immanent in all. Commentary. Communion with the Holy Nam, the Divine Word, together with meditation on His glory, is the open sesame to the realization of the One Being. Word is the substance and the power by which all life is made. Holy communion with its rapturous strains is a gift that can be attained only through a living master. In His company, a life of holy inspiration and love of God is followed, and the inner eye is opened to see the presence of God in all things. Nanak has hinted of this in the prologue itself, and now proceeds to describe the greatness and importance of such a soul. A true master is not a mere human being, but has become one with God, and as such contains in himself the powers of all the gods and goddesses. He is veritably the Word made flesh and blood. The one lesson that such a master teaches his disciples is to meditate always upon the Lord, the Creator of everything, and never to forget Him. Stanza 5. He can neither be established nor created. The Formless One is limitless, complete in Himself. Those who worship Him are honored. Nanak, ever sing of the treasure house of all virtues. Let us sing of Him and hold communion with the Word, with hearts full of loving devotion. For then shall all sorrows end, and we be led joyously homeward. The Master is the song eternal, or Word personified. He is the Vedas, the scriptures. He is saturated with the divine. He is Siva. He is Vishnu. He is Brahma. And their consorts, Parvati, Lakshmi, and Saraswati also. The greatness of the Master, even if known, cannot be described with mortal eloquence. My Master has taught me one thing. He is the Lord of everything. Him I may never forget. In this stanza, Nanak develops more fully the paradox just touched upon in stanza 4. One cannot attain union with God through the observance of certain outward actions, viz. Reading of scriptures, saying of prayers, going on pilgrimages, observance of silence, fasts and vigils, performance of rites and rituals, all of which but form part of apravidya, which prepare the ground for creating interest for higher life and devoting and developing devotion. You may make the best use of them, but these outer acts cannot give emancipation. They are by themselves meaningless. What matters is his glance of grace. If one has received this, one is blessed indeed. And yet, if salvation depends on God's love alone, let us not live in idleness. A life of inertia can lead nowhere, and God helps those who help themselves. No doubt, salvation is achieved only through grace, yet one must make oneself worthy of the same. And the only way to make oneself worthy is by following the path taught by a true master. By becoming conscious of the divine plan, we make his will our own. Stanza 6. If I may please him, 'tis pilgrimage enough. If not, nothing, no rites or toils avails. Whichever way I look, I find that in his creation. None has won salvation without his grace, regardless of karmas. You can discover untold spiritual riches within yourself if you but abide by the teachings of your master. My master has taught me one lesson. He is the Lord of everything. May I never forget him. Through certain yogic practices, one can prolong one's life and master superhuman and miraculous powers. But, says Nanak, these do not necessarily win God's goodwill, without which all is vanity. In fact, in a later stanza, 29, Nanak unequivocally states that such supernatural powers, more often than not, become hindrances in the way of full realization of God. Stanza 7. If one could extend one's life to 4 ages, nay, make it 10 times longer, if one were known throughout the 9 planes of creation, and everyone therein followed him in respect, if every creature praised him to the sky, all this and more has no value and if God's eye looked not kindly upon him. Without his goodwill, he will be reckoned as the meanest worm amongst worms, and sinners shall charge him with sins. O Nanak, he bestows virtues on those who have none, and adds to the store of the virtuous. But there is naught that can bestow aught upon him. Nanak, after a brief digression, stanza 7, resumes the theme of the secrets of spirituality. Having already told us that at one moment with God is made possible by making his will as our own, this in turn by communion with the Word, whose secret is revealed by a living master, he now explains the fruit of such communion. One rises above physical consciousness and comes into cosmic awareness. One achieves the status of a true saint, and the mystery of creation stands revealed. Kabir also makes the same statement. When you transcend into the beyond, a subtle voice is heard. This voice only a Brahmgyani can hear. This inner voice, heard in moments of concentrated meditation, is not to be confused, as has often been done, with the voice of conscience. Our conscience is nothing more than the sum of our past actions, passing judgment upon our present ones. As such, it varies from person to person. But the inner voice of true meditation is something universal, something that does not change, but it's the same for all. The next three stanzas, 9, 10, and 11, carry on the theme of the fruit of communion with the Word, which makes possible all kinds of attainment, material, intellectual, and spiritual, leading ultimately to the Godhead. Stanza 8. By communion with the Word, one can attain the status of a Siddha, a peer, a Sura, or a Nath. By communion with the Word, one can understand the mysteries of the earth, the supporting bowl, and the heavens. By communion with the Word, the earthly regions, the heavenly plateau, and the nether worlds stand revealed. By communion with the Word, we can escape unscathed through the portals of death. O Nanak, his devotees live in perpetual ecstasy, for the Word washes away all sin and sorrow. Stanza 9. By communion with the Word, one can attain the powers of Shiva, Brahma, and Indra. By communion with the Word, one can win esteem from all, irrespective of one's past. By communion with the Word, one can have yogic insight with the mysteries of life and self all revealed. By communion with the Word, one can acquire the true import of the Shastras, Smritis, and Vedas. O Nanak, his devotees live in perpetual ecstasy, for the Word washes away all sin and sorrow. Stanza 10. By communion with the Word, one becomes the abode of truth, contentment, and true knowledge. By communion with the Word, one gets the fruit of ablution at 68 pilgrimages. By communion with the Word, one wins the honor of the learned. By communion with the Word, one attains the state of sahaj. O Nanak, his devotees live in perpetual ecstasy, for the Word washes away all sin and sorrow. Stanza 11. By communion with the Word, one becomes the abode of all virtues. By communion with the Word, one becomes a sheikh, a peer, and a true spiritual king. By communion with the Word, the spiritually blind find their way to realization. By communion with the Word, one crosses beyond the limitless ocean of illusionary matter. O Nanak, his devotees live in perpetual ecstasy, for the Word washes away all sin and sorrow. Nanak, having tried to describe the fruit of communion with the Word in the preceding four stanzas, now goes on to tell about the state of one who has attained his will, who has attuned his will with the divine will, which cannot be described, as his will is beyond description. The idea of the controlling power in this world may be said to be the divine will. God himself is formless, but he assumed form. He became the Word or Nam. It was from this Word that the various planes of creation sprang into existence, one below the other. He who practices the Word, i.e., withdraws his soul from the body, and lets it be drawn up by the power of the divine music of the word, can progress from one spiritual plane to another until he reaches the very source and becomes one with it. As he proceeds on the journey, his mental and spiritual horizons widen. His soul is cleansed of its past sins and freed from the binding chains of karma. It thus transcends suffering and escapes from the wheel of transmigration. Once one has attained true salvation, one can help others on the path as well. Great indeed is the power of the word, but unfortunately, there are very few who know it. All this occupies stanzas 12 to 15. Stanza 12. None can describe the condition of one who has made God's will his own. Whoever tries to do so must realize his folly. No supply of paper, pen, or scribe can ever describe the state of such a one. O great is the power of the word, but few there be that know it. Stanza 13. By practice of the word, one rises into universal consciousness and develops right understanding. By practice of the word, one develops clairvoyance and transvision of the whole creation. By practice of the word, one is freed from sorrow and suffering. By practice of the word, one shall not go to Yama after his death. O great is the power of the word, but few there be that know it. Stanza 14. By practice of the word, one speeds on to the higher spiritual planes unhindered. By practice of the word, one gets into the spiritual planes openly and honorably. By practice of the word, one escapes the bypaths of Byama, the king of death. By practice of the word, one gets in close touch with the truth. Oh, great is the power of the word, but few there be that know it. Stanza 15. By practice of the word, one finally attains salvation. By practice of the word, one leads one kith and kin as well to freedom. By practice of the word, one saves not only himself, but when he becomes an adept, many others whom he guides. By practice of the word, one freed from desires escapes from the wheel of my transmigration. Oh, great is the power of the word, that few there be that know it. Commentary. Holy communion with the word or nam, says Nanak, is the only means to achieve oneness with the Supreme Lord. No other means can procure for man this end. It is the spirit current emanating from one being, as it does, that forms all the spiritual and material planes, reverberating in and out of all of them. It comes down from the purest spiritual planes to material-spiritual and thence to material planes, changing in sound as it passes through the different planes. The main subdivisions of the spiritual and astral planes are five in number, as given by various scriptures. It takes on five different sounds as it passes through them. These five sounds are termed by the masters or those who are adept in this science, panch shabd, or five words. Panch also literally means head, and Nanak, in this passage, refers to these meanings. The word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. All the saints are conscious of the one and the same word, which may be defined as a five-sounded word. Nam, bani or word, and hukam or will, are used by Nanak almost synonymously. Those who are all along conscious of the divine word or Godhead become his mouthpiece and are called sant. Such ones are honored in his court and are his chief workers. It is the communion with this five-sounded word which unites one with the Lord. All other means fail. It is from this word that the whole creation springs up and returns to it on its dissolution. It is resounding within all of us, and man's body is verily God's living temple. The saints of all denominations speak of the same as the only means by which to reach the ultimate reality. The Mohammedans call it Bang-e-Azmani, or the voice coming from the heaven. Shamas Tabriz and Khawaja Hafiz Shirazi speak of the same as has already been quoted in the introduction. The Hindus express the same by the words Nad, music of the spheres, Akash Bani, the voice from the heavens, and Udgit, music of the beyond. St. John in the Bible defined it thus: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. Stanza 16. Saint, or the word personified, is acceptable at his court, and he is the chief elect therein. The saint adorns the threshold of God and is honored even by kings. The saint lives by and meditates on the one word. Whoever discusses and expounds the mystery of his creation realizes that the works of the Creator are beyond reckoning. Dharm, or word, born of his grace, is the proverbial bull that is harmoniously sustaining the creation. Whosoever realizes this verily knows the truth. It is nothing but the word that is carrying the crushing load of the entire creation. For were this earth upheld by a bull, that in turn must be supported by some other planet, and that by another, and so on, ad infinitum. What a tremendous load! What other power could support it? None but the Word. There is no end to the creation. There are countless forms of life with varied names, species, and colors, writ on the objective world by the ever-flowing pen of the Creator. Who can reckon his creation? And if one could, how great would be the count? How great is his power, and how beautiful his handiwork? Who can count the measure of his sweet bounty? With one word of his, this vast creation blossomed into being, and 1,000 streams of life sprang into existence. What power have I to conceive of thy wonderful nature? too poor am I to make an offering of my life to thee. Whatever pleases thee is good. Thou art forevermore, O formless one. Guru Nanak, in this stanza, gives the picture of those engaged in good deeds, those who seek to reach him in diverse ways. These set ways, though praiseworthy, are not to be compared to the God vision made possible by communion with and practice of the Holy Word, by which means alone one can make God's will his own. Stanza 17. Countless there are that remember thee, and countless those that love thee. Countless there are that worship thee, and countless those that seek thee in austerity and penance. Countless there are that recite from sacred books thy praises, and countless those that, absorbed in yoga, stand indifferent to the world. Countless those thy devotees who contemplate thy attributes and wisdom, and countless those that practice truth and charity. Countless are the heroes that boldly face the foeman's steel, and countless those who have vowed silence meditate on thee with unceasing love. What power have I to conceive of thy wonderful nature? Too poor am I to make an offering of my life to thee. Whatever pleaseth thee is good. Thou art forevermore, O formless one. Having spoken of the pious, Nanak now lists the impious. Stanza 18. Innumerable are the fools stark blind in ignorance. Innumerable the thieves and crooks that thrive on ill-gotten gains. Innumerable those that exercise tyranny and oppression. And innumerable the cutthroats living by heinous crimes. Innumerable those that revel in shameless sins. And innumerable the liars that practice fraud and falsehood. Innumerable the impious that live on unwholesome foods. And innumerable the slanderers who add to their burden by calumniating others. Innumerable the many for lowly Nanak to describe. What power have I to conceive of thy wonderful nature? Too poor am I to make an offering of my life to thee. Whatever pleaseth thee is good. Thou art forevermore, O formless one. Manifold is his beauty, vast his creation. It baffles all description. Words cannot picture it adequately. Yet if words are inadequate, then they are the only means at our disposal. God himself is nameless, and the various names by which he is described were employed by the master souls. And though these can never do full justice to the subject which is indescribable, yet they give us some vague idea and stimulate us towards the path. I have come to the end of my time. I was reading from the Japji, stanza 4 through stanza 18, ending on page 146 of the PDF file. Thank you, Master, for everything.
Thank you, Rick, for reading for us. There were 83 of us in today's satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So thank you for your affording this opportunity of snatching away your time from your busy hours to just have a patient hearing what I have come to know. So I thank you all for all that.